Good morning, beloved community. It's been a while since I've seen you all. Yeah, looking good in the new cozy space. I'm liking it. Feels really good. So for those first-time guests, I'm Reverend Michelle Senegal. I am speaker for today. And my topic is creating beloved community. It's actually the theme for the entire month for all of Unity. I added the beloved. There's an affirmation for the month, and I want you all to recite it after me. It says, I am open to a deeper understanding, of spirit within all people. We are one. All right. So this affirmation is a powerful and deeply transformative practice. That's, of course, if you choose to take it on. And if we're truly open to understanding spirit within all people, this type of work takes us to the edge of our knowing, and in some instances, to the edge of our comfort zone. Because it invites us to seek to understand all people, which could include those who think differently from ourselves and those with whom we don't agree. So let's talk about oneness and truly understanding that. Ernest Holmes, founder of religious science, explained it this way. In God, nothing is differentiated. Everything and everyone is united. There is no wall of separation, no barrier, no place where one begins and the other leaves off. All is one and one is all. Einstein explains it this way. A human being is part of the whole, called by us the universe, a part limited in time and space. And we experience ourselves, our thoughts, our feelings, as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to the affection for a few, the few who are nearest us. To create community, our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of inclusion and expressing compassion while embracing all living beings. So this idea of oneness, it really is very easy to talk about, a little bit more challenging to live. Eric Butterworth is quoted as saying, unity stands for oneness, and unity is at the root of the word community. It's about our shared humanity, our interconnectedness, how we treat each other, and how we are treated by one another. So I don't know about you all, but I long to feast at that banquet table of oneness. But I find myself drifting in and out of understanding it and what it really means when I'm confronted with experiences of separation or otherness. While I affirm that we are all one, it can be difficult to manifest, to come from that place, and to live it. And the question is, whose definition of oneness are we using anyway? Last time I checked, all the people on the planet had not come together to decide what oneness means. But what I know is that it's not just a theory, but it's something that can be lived. In the reality of everyday life, where there seems to be divisiveness or differences around every corner. I used to think, oneness was this amorphous, unknowable principle, an ideal that was just too daunting to experience unless I put great effort into it. And I have discovered that most of us live oneness without even realizing it. It's everywhere. When we naturally express compassion, when we express empathy, when we demonstrate love, when we are being of service to others, that is an example of oneness in its everyday simplest form. And there are infinite ways to be one. So if the previous statement that I made in terms of us just being there for each other, being a presence and demonstrating empathy and compassion is true, then why don't I always recognize our oneness? Because it turns out that we are collectively creating myriad expressions of oneness. That is, oneness manifests itself, or we come across it in an infinite number of ways, because we are all individual, unique expressions of it. And while its essence remains the same, it is always showing up as us, so therefore different and diverse. Perhaps this is because the divine is always happening, always emerging, always expressing. And when I look at my life and see that sometimes oneness is offered in very sweet and tender ways, and then sometimes in challenging and difficult ways. In other words, the more aware I become of oneness in its infinite expressions, the better I'm able to respond and to live through oneness. And so as my awareness of spirit grows and increases and it keeps emerging, then it's easier and easier and easier for me to come from that place of interconnectedness and oneness. So Plato said that we are all born whole, yet need each other to be complete. Everyone I know wants peace. How about you? Everyone I know wants love. How about you? Everyone I know wants joy and a meaningful life, and we also want to live prosperous and abundant lives, yes? And these are all different aspects of oneness, because oneness also represents the whole of all things. Yet, how can I help someone else find peace or attain prosperity if I don't understand what it means to them? It's different things to different people, and it's different things to different people at various times in their lives. We define it as we go through the various seasons of our lives in the way that's relevant at that time. So I know when I first became a single parent and I was raising two children after the loss of my husband, I defined it in terms of denominations. It was all about, am I going to have enough money to take care of my family in the way that we had become accustomed? Today, I define it a lot differently because they're grown. They're taking care of themselves. It's peace of mind for me. That's how I define prosperity. So it changes based on the seasons of our lives as well. So we want to create this beloved community. That's what Unity is imploring us to do this month. So how do we do that? How do I need to be for you to know love if we're all connected? How do I need to be for you to be happy if we're all connected? How do I need to be for you to know prosperity if we're all connected? Those are the questions that we must ponder and then move beyond just the questioning to being one. Living oneness depends on my belonging with you and with all of life, as my understanding of what oneness is and how it lives, and it continues to grow within me. And I realize just how interdependent we are. Oneness is dependent on the relationship that I have with myself, with you, with the earth, and all of the cosmos. In our great uniqueness as individuals, we see that what connects us collectively is the creative force, this force that's behind everything that exists. We call it oneness, of which, as I mentioned, we all express in our own special ways. The experience of oneness only makes sense within the infinite diversity of all life. There is unity in diversity. The treasure of my uniqueness only makes sense in relationship to the whole. Otherwise, you have nothing to compare it to. Oneness is ever present. It's a creative force, focusing us on how we can live together for our well-being and for the whole of life. That's how we take another step toward the fulfillment of spirit expressing through our shared humanity. That's how oneness is really lived in the reality of our everyday lives. This is how we create beloved community. Charles Fillmore said, "Love in divine mind is the idea of universal unity. In its expression, love is the power that joins and binds us in divine harmony." So, I'm going to offer some suggestions, and I would disappoint at least a couple of you if I didn't give you an opportunity to practice. How you can create beloved community here at Unity Center of Light, within your families, and in your places of work. So the first thing is to empathize. Practice empathic inquiry and empathic listening. What in the world is that? Well, you have to ask St. Francis of Assisi, because he espoused it. And he explained it in this way: seeking first to understand, then be understood. So hearing and seeing others through the eyes and the ears of love. Number two, love unconditionally. If you cannot love others without attaching stipulations, then it's not love at all. It might be more akin to deep-seated opportunism. Number three, remember that there is one shared humanity, though there are many different stories, because we have different life experiences. And number four, embrace oneness without exception, being forever mindful of the fact that exceptions create separation, fragmentation, and otherness. And otherness creates polarity, not unity. So, practice. And we're going to do this without words. We are going to express empathy. We are going to express love for one another. And the way that you're going to do this is you're going to look to your left or look to your right, and you're just going to embrace that person through eyes of love. So if you would, look to your left first. And if there's nobody there, then look up here. I'll take it. I want to see love in those eyes. Now look to your right. And if there's no one to your right, then you can look up here. I'll take it all. And you see, it's as simple as that. You don't even have to use words to embrace someone, to enfold someone in your loving kindness. All you need do is connect. All you need do is be fully present. So I'm going to end with a short story because I have a wonderful oneness meditation for you all. A man and his son went for a walk in the woods one day. The boy was about 6 years old, so I imagine he probably weighed about 60 pounds or so. And they came across a large branch that had fallen in the middle of their path. The boy asked his father if he thought he could lift the branch and move it out of their way. And the father replied, "Of course you can, son, if you use all of your strength and all of the resources available to you." So the little boy flexes his muscles and he bends down and he endeavors to pick up this heavy, heavy branch, only to drop it. And so he says to his father, "You were wrong. I can't lift it. It's too heavy." And the father said, "You didn't use all of your strength and all of your wealth and all of the resources available to you." So the young lad tried yet again to lift the branch. So he gets all ready this time. And he flexes himself yes again. And he bends his knees and he squats down really low. And he... And it fell yet again. So he's pouting. And he says, "I can't do it. It's too much." And then the father said, "You didn't use all of the resources available to you because you didn't ask me to help." And so the boy looked up at his father, not understanding. And the father said, "Together, we could have done this. Individually, you see, it was too hard for you to do." So the moral of this story is that we have so much more in the way of strength, be it physical and mental, and wisdom, when we recognize our interconnectedness and we fearlessly ask for help if we need it. Fearlessly ask for help if we need it. That's hard for a lot of us, because we've bought into this idea of individualism. However, there's beauty and strength when we are fearless in our asking and avail ourselves to support and help of others, because that is the way it's supposed to be. No man or woman is an island unto him or herself. So you might as well use the resources available to you. And that, too, is the beauty of being in beloved community. With each other, we are so much more. In fact, we're very prosperous and abundant. And so it is. Amen.